Welcome to the podcast, Doctor to Doctor, with Dr. Paul Anderson, answering questions and discussing relevant topics in medicine. Thank you for joining for podcast number 9. We're going to talk about NAD, nicotinamide riboside, NMN, etc., etc. Now, of course, as usual, there's already a CE webinar on this, and so you can get that. There's a couple of free links listed down below in the show notes, and you can certainly get those. But I just want to go through a couple of kind of basic things around the difference between vitamin B3 and NAD and that sort of thing and how we use them clinically. So the first thing is, why not just use vitamin B3, and why would I use some of these high-speed nicotinamide supplements, and what makes them different from vitamin B3? So we kind of tackle those up front. Well, the first thing is, if you look, and if you go to certainly the webinar and maybe some of the free blog stuff too, there's a structural difference. And if you look at nicotinamide, so the amide version of vitamin B3, you've got a single molecule that is used in many, many places as a cofactor. It's an organic cofactor, usually goes with an inorganic cofactor of a mineral. And the mineral and the B3 go together, and they do a lot of stuff, for instance, in your brain and in your liver, etc. But if you look at NAD, nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, that's a whole different ballgame, as it's got two nicotinamides and a couple of ribose, and they're linked together, and they have high-energy phosphates on them. So when you're thinking about NAD, while you can increase NAD levels using vitamin B3 in people who have a lot of mitochondrial dysfunction, and people have a lot of damage from, say, chronic alcoholism, in any number of other reasons, then you want to think about maybe using something to increase NAD a little bit faster. The next thing to consider there is that NAD as a molecule having these two vitamin B3s and the sugars, etc., is its own cofactor. So you'll see B3 as a cofactor. You'll also see NAD as a cofactor. And if you recall, NADH is at the very beginning of the mitochondrial OxPhos system. And so if you have a lack of NAD, you have a lack of mitochondrial activity, which really becomes the reason on the energy side we want to use it. And then NAD as a discrete cofactor in some CNS type activity, such as the reduction either directly or indirectly of alcohols and aldehydes in the central nervous system, is also part of the job there. So the reason that the nicotinamide, the NAD, either substrates or primers are different is that NAD is a different molecule that has two B3s plus some other goodies in it. So we think about this in people with addiction. We think about it in people with chronic low energy states. We think about it in people who are recovering from other mitochondrial injury problems, such as, you know, people who have had chemo, people who have had a lot of chemical exposure, people who have been sick a long time. All of those are good reasons why you might want to consider this. So when you're thinking about it, there's a little bit of difference between what you can do intravenously versus orally. And so if we look, there's oral supplements that would include NADH and CoQ10. I use one from Seeking Health. It's really good. It's a lozenge. It does absorb, but it's at low dose. So you think, well, why would you use something at low dose? Well, one reason is that low dose is kind of nice in people who are super sensitive, chronic fatigue, fibro, you know, kids, elderly folks, etc. Because if you think about it, if we're giving people a primer for their mitochondria, if they're real, you know, if they're real sensitive, they may not tolerate that because their mitochondria start to speed up too fast. So the Seeking Health NADH / CoQ10 combo I find really good for that sort of entry level activity. And, it's lozenge, so it absorbs a bit better, and they get 25 NADH and 50 milligrams of CoQ10. So that works out pretty good, actually. Then there's the oral nicotinamide riboside, and nicotinamide riboside is, a proven oral agent to increase NAD levels. So it has research behind it. It shows that it will increase levels, etc., and of NAD. And so that is the one that I use when I really want to reliably raise NAD levels in people. So we use this in between IV NAD in addiction and fatigue and all that. The thing with this is it usually comes in a denominations of 250 to 300 milligram per capsule. And right now in the U.S., nicotinamide riboside, regardless of whose name is on the label, is pretty much made by the same people. So if you get it from, True Niagen, or you get it from Thorne, it's basically the same thing, and there's others too. So what I usually recommend is start with one a day, and so 250 to 300 milligrams, and then the typical dose is, if you're working on a mitochondrially damaged organ like a brain, liver, whether it's fatty liver disease or NALFD or whatever you're working on there, skeletal muscle recovery, energy, you ramp them up usually to somewhere to 500 or 600 milligrams twice a day. Now, I will say that I've spoken to people who did the original research with nicotinamide riboside, and I asked, is there an upper limit? And they said, no, it's mostly a cost issue. And so high-performance athletes will often use nicotinamide riboside orally, and they may go way past the 500 to 600 milligrams twice a day, and they might do 2-3 times that much. The caution I would give you is it's a lot like IV NAD, where you have to be careful about cardiac sensitivity. So I've had people feel like they got too much thyroid when they were taking too much of it. And so, you know, they went up, they were at 250 twice a day. That was fine. They went to 250, then to 500 twice a day, and they started to get a little shaky, back them off by, you know, one pill, and they're fine. So you can sometimes find it. The other thing to keep in mind is really two things with folks. One is, if they're really, really sick, they may tolerate less in the beginning and more later, or the opposite. I've had people in the beginning, they couldn't get enough, and then as their NAD levels rose, they became more sensitive. So just because, you know, an elite athlete can take 2 grams twice a day doesn't mean that your sick patients can. And the other thing I always warn them about, it's a lot like thyroid, is as the dose increases and then they start to get better, their dose may need to decrease. And I think that's critical that the patient knows, so they know why they're shaky and have a bit of tachycardia. So for lower dose and children and stuff, I really like that NADH / CoQ10 lozenge from Seeking Health. For most purposes of repair of organs, I and addiction treatment orally in between, I really like the nicotinamide riboside. Now, there is the nicotinamide mononucleotide, NMN, that is out as a supplement. At this point, now this will change, but at this point it has less research, and so I just use nicotinamide riboside. NMN as opposed to NR, they're both, you know, about as far away from making NAD as each other. And so NMN has a lot of, like, it logically ought to work, but right now the research is with nicotinamide riboside. So another thing on the order of why would you do it? If in addition to, we've all heard of, you know, NAD and addiction, and that's a lot of that has to do with repair of mitochondria. A lot of it, though, has to do with NAD being a really good cofactor in the removal of toxins from alcohol and other stuff and balancing brain chemistry. But otherwise, I keep mentioning mitochondria. Well, what are your high mitochondrially active organs, and why would bumping up the mitochondria be good for them? Well, your high mitochondrial active organs, the highest ones, your heart, liver, brain, skeletal muscle, your GI tract, all your metabolic organs. So if you're thinking about it and you think, well, okay, I need to repair that organ, in addition to doing organ-specific things that you might do, whatever those treatments might be, you've got to prime the mitochondria so they can repair. Otherwise, they're always in energy deficit and they can't repair. This is why there's actually research with neurological disease and liver disease and some cardiac disease showing that, say, oral nicotinamide riboside by raising NAD levels in the body is associated with healing of those things. Also, skeletal muscle repair after athletic events, etc. So this starts to make a lot of sense as to why that would be useful. So whenever you think about these nicotinamide primers, the NAD primers, you think about really all your organs, but high metabolic ones. So liver, brain, GI tract, your eyes certainly use quite a bit, your heart, etc., etc. Now, NAD IV, I talk about this in the webinar a lot more, but if you think that you can kind of overdose people with NAD by giving them oral nicotinamide riboside or whatever and get, you know, they get a little kind of hyper hypermetabolic, IV is worse because you have direct access. So with NAD IVs, and this is not how to train you how to do those. There's a little bit of information there and you can take IV classes on it. But the thing you want to keep in mind is it's a very stimulating treatment. And so we always start low and work up. With fibromyalgia and fatigue people, we might start at 50 to 100 milligrams in a nutrient IV and work them up to a few hundred milligrams. In addiction, the levels that people tolerate who are addicted go anywhere from 500 milligrams to, you know, 2,000, 3,000 milligrams. And if you talk to people who do addiction every day and are addiction doctors, it's less about the dose and it's more about what's tolerated. So some people tolerate higher dose faster, some people lower dose slower. Now the next thing that you want to really keep burned into your brain about any NAD sparing or raising therapies, whether it's IV or oral, we've talked about, is the balance and cofactors. So you're going to be, think about it, it's like any other B vitamin, you're going to be burning a lot more mitochondrial activity, which means you're going to be burning up B2 and you're going to be burning up some other nutrients like CoQ10. But really you want the other B vitamins. And if you're doing addiction medicine, you want, say, a mixed aminos and stuff going in as well. Really, if you're doing anything, you should be, like if you're trying to repair the liver or the brain or whatever, you're going to need mixed aminos, elements, trace elements and minerals and the other B vitamins at the very, very least. So these things always do better with cofactors, and you always do better going low and slow and working them up. And so those are just some thoughts based on questions that I've been getting from people, and hopefully that kind of brings up the discussion on the NAD phenomenon. And so you want to keep in mind NAD as a substance you can get intravenously. It's not going to absorb terribly well orally. NADH and CoQ10 together as a lozenge, like the Seeking Health version. Nicotinamide riboside you can do orally. And then NMN supplements are kind of coming on the scene, but I just seen more research from nicotinamide riboside if I'm going to do it orally at those higher doses. And generally very, very useful. But do watch out for oversensitization either on the front end, and then you can ramp them up later, start low and work up, or on the back end where they start to get better and suddenly they were taking, you know, 500 milligrams twice a day, and now they only tolerate 250 once a day. That's actually a good sign that you see with patients as well. So this has been a quick and to the point about NAD and NAD type therapies. The only other thing I bring up usually at this point is you can certainly get there by supplementing, you know, B3 as niacinamide, and your body will put it together. Some of you have worked with fibromyalgia. Remember, a lot of people used to use ribose. Well, probably the reason ribose was helpful was it's the limiting factor in the creation of NAD when you have enough nicotinamide. So nicotinamide and ribose, as long as your enzymes are working, can be synthesized too. So you can get there more slowly using niacinamide and ribose, but if you really want to get there and help the tissues heal, etc., it's probably worth the money to do, say, a NADH, CoQ10 lozenge, and/or nicotinamide riboside orally. Or if you're doing IV, you want to use those things orally in between anyway. Well, that's enough for today. At the bottom, if you look in the show notes, we got links to the CE on NAD, and then a couple of the free blog type links as well. But thank you very much for listening. We'll be back with our next podcast very soon. Thank you for listening. This has been the podcast, Doctor to Doctor, with Dr. Paul Anderson. You can find us online at consultdra.com. Consultdra.com. We'll see you all at the next podcast. And please remember, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the speakers alone and should not be construed as medical or healthcare advice. Thank you.